Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on your time zone. Welcome to today's webinar, Your Journey to ISO 27001 Part 3, Privacy Integration. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be here just to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speaker. Today, we're welcoming back a special guest, Alan Calder of IT Governance Limited, and I'll be introducing Alan to you momentarily. And now, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Alan Calder. Alan is an internationally acknowledged cybersecurity expert and a leading author on information security and IT governance issues. He's also the founder and executive chairman of IT Governance Limited, a single source provider of cyber risk and privacy management solutions. Alan co-wrote the definitive compliance guide, IT Governance, an international guide to data security in ISO 27001/ISO 27002 with Steve Watkins, which is the basis for the UK Open University's postgraduate course on information security. Alan also wrote a number of other popular books on ISO 27001 and the EU's GDPR, including the popular EU General Data Protection Regulation and Implementation and Compliance Guide, which provides a clear and comprehensive guide to the regulation and sets out the obligations of data processors and controllers. Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I look forward to seeing what you have to say.
Hi, Amy. Thank you very much. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this webinar. I'm going to be talking today about ISO 27001. You'll recall the several webinars that you've been on before. We've talked through the nine-step approach to implementing ISO 27001. And I'm going to be talking today about, when the slides advance, I'll be able to talk to you a bit about how we tackle integrating privacy into the implementation of an information security management system based on ISO 27001. We'll do that from the perspective of the 20 odd years worth of experience we have working with organizations to help them implement ISO 27001. We do as a group, GRCI, and IT governance, the main trading business inside the group. We work with organizations across the globe to implement ISO 27001 from training through consultancy, through tool support, internal audits, and so on. So the way in which we go about tackling ISO 27001 is based on years and years of finding improvements, simplifications, and processes which we know meet the requirements of certification bodies. I've been involved, obviously, for as long as all of that, and implementing privacy frameworks like GDPR, HIPAA, and others into ISO 27001 is one of the many important ways in which, in this part of the 21st century, we have to tackle taking forward information security. We have some latency, it looks like, in terms of slide progress today. So I'm going to be talking about why implementing and integrating information security is so important. We'll talk about ISO 27701. That's the standard in the ISO family, which is specifically designed to help deal with personal information. We call it the Personal Information Management System standard. And then we'll look a bit at the structure and controls, as well as how NIST and SOC 2 can be tackled through ISO 27001. Then we'll look briefly at some practical solutions for doing that. But first, let's start with privacy and building privacy into an ISO 27001 information security management system. The way we do that is ISO 27701, launched in last year, 2019, really went live effectively through 2020 and 21. It's an extension to ISO 27001. That means that you can be certificated against 27701 if you already have, or if you are at the same time implementing ISO 27001. It's not a standard which can exist on its own. You can't get certification against ISO 27701 on its own. You have to be doing it with an approach which builds compliance to 27701 into your ISO 27001 information security management system. What 27701 is doing is effectively extending information security so that it becomes also a privacy information management system, managing the personally identifiable information of all of the data subjects that are within the scope of your management system. The EU and UK GDPRs, they're essentially different laws, but they start off in basically the same place. At the CCPA, many other laws across the United States and across the rest of the world, all of them focus increasingly on having a specific set of requirements around how, as an organization, you manage personal data. ISO 27701 is a comprehensive but generic standard. It's not a specific GDPR or CCPA or HIPAA standard. It is a standard which recognizes that confidentiality, integrity, and availability of information are fundamental to all privacy regulations around the world, and therefore creates a framework, a privacy information management framework, which is capable, if implemented correctly, of enabling you to demonstrate compliance with whatever set of regulations, whether national or international, that are important to you and to your customers. So the standard recognizes, and ISO and IEC, remember, are the two authorities on management systems and best practice. They've been at this since the end of the last World War. And the starting point for 27701 is the fact that around the world, it's recognized that certification to ISO standards is a gold mark, is a genuine quality certification which enables organizations to demonstrate that what they're doing is really solid, is based on internationally accumulated and developed best practice, certificated by third-party auditors who themselves are operating in a best practice environment. So ISO 27701 is a logical development now that we all understand that privacy is the other side of security, and that a privacy breach is also a cybersecurity breach, and vice versa. And so ISO 27701 enables you to comply with a broad range of data protection and privacy legislation in the US, in the UK, in the EU, without having to have compliance silos, each of which can potentially conflict with the silo right next to it, when in fact, what you have to do is manage all of your personal data in a way that consistently and simultaneously meets the requirements of all of those laws, rather than simply meeting the requirements of them one at a time. So a comprehensive information security management system obviously already addresses privacy issues, but you can't really meet the requirements of privacy legislation without fully addressing privacy. And the ISMS 27001 is not designed to address privacy specifically. It's designed to address information security broadly, of which personal data is a small part. So 27701 is a way of making sure that the factoring in of privacy measures to your ISMS is much more comprehensive and much more robust, in a way that means the resulting certificate itself will by default cover privacy in a very comprehensive way. So privacy obligations, I said, now increasingly around the world. So it's not just the United States. We see in Brazil, India, China versions of what the European Union developed, its GDPR. The UK has a version of GDPR. In Virginia, in Colorado, in California, and other states in the US, we see the rollout of privacy legislation, which is pretty specific in terms of what is required to ensure the privacy of data subjects. In addition to those kinds of regulations, you've got contracts with customers, with stakeholders. Non-disclosure agreements, for instance, often deal with the protection of personal data and contact information. There are security standards and regulations which might imply in specific sectors. So in the financial sector, for instance, there are very specific requirements around how consumer data is protected. In HR, there are requirements around how data is protected. So organizations have a broad set of privacy obligations. It's not as you can go, let me comply with one single law and I'm safe, because the truth is you've got to deal with an intermeshing set of obligations, legal, regulatory, statutory, contractual, and industry good practice. So implementing an ISO 27701 compliant PIMS is a way of enabling you to build the trust of your customers that you can manage their personal information. Important both for consumer facing businesses and for B2B businesses, because B2B businesses, of course, also collect and process personal data, even if it's only the personal data of your customers and customer contacts. You can improve, simplify how you go about complying with the range of laws that within whose scope you fall. It can reduce the complexity in your compliance projects, can certainly reduce the amount of time that you spend preparing and conducting privacy audits, because if you can audit across multiple regulations and contracts simultaneously, that's way more efficient and effective. A single audit report can be shared with multiple third parties. You've got additional assurance, obviously, for your customers, stakeholders, that not just cybersecurity and information security are sorted, but so is PII's privacy management. And demonstrating commitment to privacy and information security is a good way, increasingly, of winning new customers, as well as having staff feeling confident in their working environment. And of course, the international recognition that comes can be particularly useful for organizations who are either looking to branch out internationally or who are expecting foreign customers to find and deal with them. So let's talk a bit about how you go about implementing an ISO 27701 extension to your information security management system. There are really two ways you can come at it. One is you've already got an ISO 27001 management system in place and you want to add to it a PIMS. Alternatively, you've got neither and you want to at the same time implement an integrated ISMS and PIMS. It's a single project leading to a single certification with the client. So what does 27701 say? Well, at clause 5.1, it says the requirements in 27001, where it talks about information security, you must throughout that extend that so that it's also about protection of privacy as affected by the processing of personally identifiable information. So information security management system becomes by definition an information and privacy security system. Clause 6.1 says that wherever you're dealing with the guidelines in ISO 27002, which you remember is the guidance on implementing the controls listed in Annex A of ISO 27001. Wherever it's talking about information security, now you should add privacy to it so that you're talking about information and privacy security. What that in practice means is that wherever in either of those standards you come across security, you're always now going to be talking about information and privacy security simultaneously. And therefore, all phrases, all clauses, all activities inside your management system or controls should now be dealing with risks to information as well as risks to privacy. So more broadly, ISO 27701, the key clauses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Clause 5 is the specific requirements related to ISO 27001. Clause 6 is the specific guidance related to 27002. And it can only be guidance because, of course, 27002 is a guidance standard. Clause 7 is guidance for controllers of PII. A controller is the organization that determines the means and purpose of processing. And clause 8 is the guidance for processors processes those organizations who are processing personal data under the instruction of a controller. So very comprehensive covers both the requirements of controllers and processes, as well as the two critical standards for implementing an international management system around security and privacy. Thinking about scope, if you've already implemented an ISO 27001 ISMS, it's possible that you haven't fully included PII in its scope. So as you move to add PIMS to it, you'll be reconsidering the scope of your management system, because to get ISO 27701 included in your certificate, your scope must very clearly and specifically include PII, personal data. So you need to consider or reconsider the scope, identify where personal data is collected and processed, identify whether it's within your control or whether it's outsourced, because ISO 27701 has specific requirements around outsourcing of processing, as does most privacy regulation. So you need to think about the scope of the management system and how you build personally PII into that scope. The PIMS, therefore, is going to be looking at what activities you have in place around personal data. So what notices do you have to put out by law to tell people about the processing? Where do you have to have them? What the legal basis for processing is? Where consent is being relied on? What data protection principles are being implemented and how? Often you have to set out how data subjects can exercise their rights. Those need to be clear. There needs to be a mechanism for demonstrating that those operate effectively. And you typically have to have processes in place that deal with the retention and disposal of personal data so that you don't retain data for longer than is legally required and you dispose of it in a way that doesn't compromise its security. So there's a set of requirements that come out of regulation. Then there's a set of requirements which come out of contracts. So contracts that you as a data processor, if you have a customer who is giving you personal data, there will be specific requirements you need to build into your management system. But there will also be, if you are yourself outsourcing processing to somebody else, you will have to be clear about how you manage that processing for that third party with that third party. And you've got the whole challenge of cross-border transfers to deal with as well. And as this webinar is going out, there is some progress taking place between the EU and the US in terms of creating a third version of a safe harbor that might enable data processing to happen in the US of personal data collected in the UA in the EU by an EU data controller. You have to have a method of handling requests from data subjects that is effective, that reflects back to the data subject that you've got and are processing their requests, and you're going to do so in a time frame which meets the regulatory requirements. And of course, for all management systems, particularly around personally identifiable information, you need to have a way of managing change. Those changes might be in terms of the systems which you use for processing personal data. It might be in the development of new systems. But in all of those instances, you need to be thinking about privacy by design and by default, so that it's not something you build in after the event. It's something which you think about as you're building systems, as you're managing change to systems that might have in them personal data or which might affect personal data. So let's think a bit about that in the context of ISO 27701 and ISO 27002. So 27001, you recall, there are basically four clauses that you have to comply with, clauses 4 through 10. They have a multiplicity of sub-clauses, but essentially clause 4, context of the organization, clause 6, planning, that includes your risk assessment, clause 8 is the rollout of controls that you've selected from Annex A in relation to the risks and your risk appetite. And Annex A is a reference control set. So you don't have to implement the controls that are set out in Annex A. You can implement any controls that you think are appropriate for your business, but you need to cross-reference them or back-reference them to the set of controls in Annex A, and you then need to explain why you haven't selected an Annex A control, if that's the case, and you need to be clear about the implementation status of all of those controls. So that's 27,001. 27,701 has only 8 clauses, and again, the first 4 clauses are not that important. They're the kind of normative references, terms and definitions. The stuff that you have to take account of is clauses 5 through 8. That's the steps that you need to change. Clause 5, which is specific requirements, that's got to go into your management system. And then the guidance in how to deal with 27,002 and both for controllers and processors, that needs to be reflected to the extent that you have selected controls from 27,002, that needs to be reflected in your own management system. It's got a set of 6 annexes. It's solid guidance, this is all guidance. It gives you in Annex A set of PIM specific reference control objectives and controls. So you add those into your existing Annex A. So you'll have the 114 original ISO 27001 Annex A controls plus the additional controls and control objectives that come if you're a controller in Annex A, if you're a processor in Annex B. And then Annex C gives you a mapping to ISO 29100. That's another privacy standard inside the ISO world. D gives you a mapping to the EU General Data Protection Regulation, which is one of the most widely referred data protection regulations because it is as comprehensive as it is. Annex E gives you a mapping to ISO 27018, which is an ISO extension standard that deals with managing personal data in the cloud. And then helpfully, Annex F gives you a set of guidance on how to implement 27701 in a 27001 environment. So you could do all of this, frankly, just by reading the standard. You wouldn't need to come and listen to me talk, but listening to me talk actually means that you probably don't go down a number of blind alleys, which it's quite easy to do if the language and the way in which you go about complying with standards is not automatic and straightforward for you. So that's ISO 27701 as a standard. As I said, the key things to be paying attention to are clauses 5 through 8 and the very specific annexes that are going to be relevant to you. The most critical areas where you're going to be paying attention to changes to your management system are really, first of all, in clause 5.2, the context of the organization. The context of the organization already requires you to identify the requirements of interested parties. Interested parties are stakeholders, personal data subjects, regulators, law, courts, etc. And so what ISO 27701 is saying is, and you need to do specific things in regards to the interests of personally identifiable information. It needs to be built into your scope very clearly, needs to be reflected in the understanding and expectations of interested parties, because the personal data of those people who are within the scope of your management system, they are interested parties. It'll also be it also affects planning. So 5.4 talks about planning, and that goes into how you address your risk assessment. So clause 6 of ISO 27001 is risk assessment. Clause 5.4 of 27701, because that's what we're looking at here, is saying that in your risk assessment, you need, when you're addressing risks and opportunities, to be addressing risks and opportunities to information and to the privacy expectations of data subjects. Your information security objectives need to include privacy of data subjects. And this is thinking about the privacy of data subjects from their perspective, not from yours. Their data is not something which you own. It's something of which you are a guardian, you have a responsibility for. But in thinking about the rights and the rights of data subjects, you have to think about what their expectations are, and you have to build your management system in a way that will take account of those. Clause 6 tells you which additional controls you need to be considering to add into the 114 controls in Annex A of ISO 27001. 1001. So what you see on the screen in front of you is the control categories from Annex A. They are the controls that are on which ISO 27002 provides implementation guidance, and in Annexes A and B of ISO 27701 is guidance on which additional controls you should be considering to include in your Annex A reference control set. 31 controls in Annex A, 18 controls in Annex B. There are some organizations who might be both controllers and processors. Controllers in relation to one set of data, but they might also be processors in relation to another set of data. So for instance, an organization that provides outsourced payroll services, it will be a controller in respect of its customers' information. In other words, the stuff, the customers you're talking to negotiate and agree contracts. It'll be a controller in relation to its own employees' data. But in respect of the data that its customers hand over for processing payroll, it will be a processor. It will have to comply with the processor requirements of its customers. So that's an example of an organization which might simultaneously have to add in both Annex A and Annex B controls to its ISO 27001 referent control set. Those controls split into four categories. We've talked about the conditions for collection and processing, obligations to PII principles, the data subjects themselves, the concepts of privacy by design and default, and then rules around sharing, transfer, and disclosure of data. So comprehensive additional controls for you to consider. How does that all fit into the world of NIST and SOC 2? Well, SOC 2 is created by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. It's designed to provide assurance to customers about the security of your information systems. It's a much more comprehensive audit standard than ISO 27001 and ISO 27006, which is the audit standard for the ISO family. SOC 2 looks at five trust service principles: security, availability, processing, integrity, confidentiality, and privacy. And it focuses on the services and the people, processes, and technology that support those trust service principles. And typically, what SOC 2 does is audit how you go about complying with your own document set of requirements. So it's not a standard for complying to, it's a standard for carrying out and reporting on an audit. It's a second party audit standard. And it's typically a requirement mostly of companies that are listed on American stock exchanges and have to comply with PCAOB regulations. So the regulations that were originated with SOCs and apply to organizations where there is processing of data that forms a significant element of the organization's control environment. It's a much more comprehensive and expensive audit than that, which is carried out under ISO 27001, but you can take an ISO 27001 management system and its controls. They map very straightforwardly to the five trust service principles. So you can arrange to have the more comprehensive SOC audit carried out on the basis of your ISO 27001 management system. And it's just worthwhile bearing in mind that while your ISO 27001 management system is similar to SOC 2 in the sense that it has a third party assessor, it's recognized by customers, and so it helps build customers' trust. It's increasingly recognized internationally if it's SOC 2 outside the US, ISO 27001 increasingly recognized inside the US, it's recognized globally. Both frameworks are meant to help organizations demonstrate they've got effective control over their data. But ISO 27001 is looking simply at the establishment and maintenance of an information security management system, whereas SOC 2 is looking for evidence that whatever your security controls are, they are being enforced. So it's not interested in how the management system works, it's interested in the service principle and how the specific controls are actually being applied. So it will audit the application of the controls. It's not really interested in whether the management system is driving improvements to how the organization itself is operating. It's not interested in the extent to which the controls are helping the organization achieve business objectives. It's simply focused on a comprehensive audit of whether the controls are achieving their control objectives or not. It's a useful extension, if you like, to an ISO 27001 environment. A third-party assessor in both cases for ISO 27001, it's a recognized accredited certification body. For SOC 2, it's a CPA. The ISO 27001 is a third-party audit, so the resulting certificate can be shared with everybody. A SOC 2 is a second-party audit. The report is to you and you only, so it's not designed to be shared with everybody else. SOC 2, there is no certification. You simply get an attestation report. ISO 27001, it is a certification. It's a third-party audit. 27001 works in any sector. The renewal timeframe, valid for 3 years with regular check-ins by the certification auditors. SOC 2, on the other hand, primarily focused on software as a service companies, companies that own service delivery, but it's only valid for a year. It's got to be renewed annually, so it's a significantly more expensive commitment for an organization than ISO 27001. In the US, many organizations think about NIST as an alternative to ISO 27001, not least because it's an expectation of DoD contractors that organizations will implement the NIST privacy framework. It's structured very similar to the cybersecurity framework, but focuses on the identification and management of privacy risks as distinct from cybersecurity frameworks. And if you've already implemented the CSF, you've got a head start when it comes to implementing the privacy framework, because the CSF already touches on data privacy. It's much more in-depth, worth following if you're serious about securing your organization and meeting cybersecurity laws such as CPRA and EU GDPR, but it's not a standard which brings with it any of the benefits of an ISO 27001 management system, because it's not something which has got a third-party audit framework attached to it. It's therefore much more difficult for you to use to be able to demonstrate to stakeholders, to regulators in law courts, to customers, that your management system is meeting its various requirements. So that's 27701. When you implement it, what you'll get if you've already got 27001 is your certificate will be replaced by one which says you've achieved 27001. Part of the scope is 27701. It will describe the scope of the management system as a whole. We can help with that. IT Governance USA, we do a whole range of fundamental trainings. We do implementation. We can help you with tools that can help you implement ISO 27701. We can give you lead implement training. We can train auditors. We can help you implement ISO 27001. We can help you with an integrated management system. We can do pretty well whatever it is that you need doing as an implementation point of view. And of course, we work with independent certification bodies, obviously like Perry Johnson, who will be able to give you an independent third-party assessment of the quality of the work which we can do for you. So you would go to an organization like Perry Johnson and talk to them independently about a certification and how they can enable you to have 27001, 27701 certification and how that can be helpful for you in terms of meeting your various organizational objectives. And ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to the end of what I was planning to say today. So I'm here and ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Alan, for that great presentation. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the slide of contact information here that you've provided. So this is all the contact information for everyone from the EU to the US, the UK, who might want to reach out to IT governance regarding their services, any other questions about the standards discussed or the principles discussed. And then as well, I don't have a slide in this this slide deck, unfortunately, for PJR. If you have any questions about our certification offerings, you can go ahead and visit pjr.com, or you can give us a call at 248-358-3388. That is in the US. There's more contact information on the website as well if you want to send us an email, if you'd like to request a quote for certification. I would absolutely recommend that you check out the website. And the website is where the slides and the recording of this presentation and the other three episodes in this series will be available to all of you. So Alan, just to wrap things up, do you have any parting words of wisdom for everyone out there who's looking at ISO 27001? Alan, I believe you might have muted yourself.
ISO 27701 is a relatively new standard, although it was published in 2019. Certification bodies have to go through their processes to be ready to certify against that. Organizations need to get stuck into it. But certainly we see increasingly with our customers them tackling either integrating 27701 into an existing management system, or indeed, if they're doing it for a fresh, doing both management systems at the same time, because it's such an obvious way of simultaneously meeting your cybersecurity and privacy obligations and putting yourself in a position where you can genuinely demonstrate to stakeholders that you are a leader in the areas of being on top of cybersecurity and privacy, and that's a real winning formula for more and more organizations.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you again, Alan. And I will encourage, if anyone has any follow-up questions to this presentation, to reach out to Alan and his people at IT Governance, or us here at PJR. We're happy to, if we can't answer your question ourselves, we'll get you to someone who can answer that for you. But we're looking forward to having another webinar with you soon, Alan, and I hope everyone has a safe and healthy rest of their week.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.